So that brings to a conclusion the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel. Now we're ready to begin this 10th chapter. This 10th chapter gives us an account of a war that David had with the Ammonites. It tells us what led up to the war, who allied themselves with the Ammonites against David, and of the success that David's army had in this battle. So beginning in the first verse, "And it came to pass after this, that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. So the king of Ammon, whose name was Nahash, died, and his son took over and reigned in his stead." Now David had just shown this act of kindness to Mephibosheth, and so he now turns to showing an act of kindness to this new ruler of Ammon. He says in verse 2, "Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." We know that in our times of distress, when we've lost a loved one, it's nice to know that those who were their friends are now our friends. It's also an appropriate thing in a time of grief to know that someone shares our grief with us, shares our loss with us. And so David was attempting to do this to this new king of the Ammonites. He says that his father showed kindness unto me. Now let's make no mistake, Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, was a dread enemy of Israel. He'd done them much harm. He was certainly against them. But during the time that Saul was persecuting David, it seems that Nahash had shown a kindness to David. Maybe not because he thought so much of David, but simply out of spite to Saul, just to do something against Saul. But nevertheless, he did receive a kindness from him. And we may think of it like this, that if a Pharisee gives a poor man some alms, and he does it out of a sense of pride and not out of a sense of true love for this person, it doesn't matter what's in the Pharisee's heart at the time he gives the alms. The one who receives the alms still owes some thanksgiving. He still is to be appreciative of it. And God then will judge the heart of the giver. And so it seems to be here the case. David was appreciative of the kindness that Nahash had shown to him, and so he's going to return this kindness by showing a sense of friendship to his son Hanun. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. David is simply going to comfort him in his time of grief. He was simply going to show that he was mourning with him and to express his regret at the death of his father. And he did this by sending his servants. He sent some ambassadors over into this land of the children of Ammon. Verse 3, "And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it and to overthrow it?" So here they're thinking evil. These advisors of the king Hanun are thinking evil of these men that David sent. They are interpreting their actions in an evil way. And of course it matters not how good we are. It matters not how great the things we do and how honorable our intentions are. There's always someone who can interpret this in a bad way. There's always someone who can throw a bad light upon it, who can twist our actions into looking like we're trying to do something that's wrong. So we have to remember that is a principle of mankind, and we need to not let ourselves be in that position of doing that and behaving that way, but nevertheless, this is the way these advisors of the king were behaving. "Wherefore, Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle even to their buttocks and sent them away." So Hanun abused David's servants. He greatly degraded them. He made them ashamed. He cut off their garments in the middle so that they were exposed and be the laughingstock of his servants. And he shaved off half of their beard, which was also an affront to a Jew during that time, because his beard was a sign of maturity. His beard was a sign of him being a member of the wise group of advisors of David. And now with half of it shaved off, this would be a laughing stock. So he did something to greatly humiliate them. So when they told it to David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. That is, David sent them care, he sent them assistance, he sent to meet them. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. So they were allowed to stop over in the area of Jericho, no doubt at some private place, and wait until their beards could grow out enough that maybe they could trim the other side to have an even beard now, and then return, so that they wouldn't have to return in this state of ridicule of having half their beard shaved off. Of course, it was no problem to correct the clothing, but the beard would take some time to correct. So now David is quite concerned over this mistreatment of his messengers, and we're going to see then that he does respond in a very forceful way. I'd like to note one thing, though, that, and some do make this observation, and that is maybe this treatment that David received and his servants received here, maybe it's simply a payment for David having placed any kind of confidence in the Ammonites. That this was just simply repaying David for courting and complimenting that pagan prince whom he knew to be an intractable enemy to Israel. And so this might cause him now to remember how this king was certainly not in favor with God and in favor with Israel. We remember back in the time of 1 Samuel 11 and 2, whenever this king threatened the men of Jabesh-Gilead, he said that he would only make a covenant with them if they would allow him to put out their right eyes. And they gained a little time and secretly sent for Saul for help, and Saul came to their rescue. But we can see what a spiteful people these were. And so, what kind of treatment could David have expected from such a spiteful family and people as this? Why should he covet the friendship of a people whom Israel must have so little to do with, and must shun to the point that, according to Deuteronomy 23 and 3, that they were not to enter into the congregation of the Lord even to the 10th generation? So, there is some very good reasoning and scriptural evidence that this may simply have been a just repayment to David for his courting a people that were so opposed to God, for his playing up to a family and a king that had a proven history of being against the things of God and the things of God's people. Well, we will continue the story later. Our time has expired for now. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.